What a well-designed play. And you got to give credit. Kevin Porter Jr., like his dad, pulled that trigger right at the right time.
That was Wizards announcer Glenn Kosor right after the Kevin Porter Jr. game winner in Washington the other night. Now, he is claiming he thought Kevin Porter Jr. was the son of a former Wizards player. But the background is Kevin Porter Jr.'s father shot somebody in his childhood. But, I mean, the way he delivered it, it sure seemed like he knew what he was doing, man. But at the same time, listen, I didn't know about Porter Jr.'s father, so let me cop my plea as well here. A couple episodes ago, I was talking that shit when he got suspended, and I stand on his maturity issues. But as far as the LeBron daddy mentor jokes, all that was to me was like, listen, he looks like he needs a mentor, right? Like he needs some guidance. And so I'm not going to sit here and say it's a fact that that announcer knew what he was doing, because I so happened to make the same type of joke without knowing the background on Kevin Porter Jr. If I had known that, I wouldn't have taken it there. You know I like to clown and have fun, but there's certain things that are off limits, so I wouldn't have taken it there. But yeah, I don't know if he got suspended or anything, but Porter Jr., you want to talk about quick redemption after the one-game suspension for he and Christian Wood, he hits a game winner in Washington. It's January 7th. This is episode 150 of The Hezzy, brought to you by BasketballGods.net. If you're looking for more basketball podcasts, go over to BasketballGods.net. We've got two new podcasts, Hustle is a Skill and Dropping Dimes and Scoring Buckets. Be sure to check those out. They're on iTunes, Spotify, all that. There was some spicy stuff, though, right? Did you see the Nurkic-Tyler Hero dust-up the other night in Portland? Nurkic lays Hero out with a hard screen. It was a clean screen. It didn't look dirty to me, but he laid him out. I don't know if he said something to him after he put him down, right? Was he like, bitch? For whatever reason, it triggered Hero. Hero springs up, shoves Nurkic, and then, you know, there's a whole bunch of hold me back stuff. I don't know. It looked kind of legit to me, like Hero actually kind of wanted to get a piece of him for a second. I think his temper got the best of him before, you know, he kind of realized who exactly he was trying to stand in front of. And I'm thinking like, yo, you know who Tyler Hero reminds me of? Someone at me, man, because I can't remember whose comedy bit this was. I can't remember, man, but I know some of y'all have seen it. Tyler Hero, he's the crazy white boy in the crew of brothers, right? And you know, if there's one white boy in a crew of brothers, what type of crazy shit did he have to do to be accepted by these dudes, to get the hood pass? Nah, but that's what I was thinking. I was like, yo, Tyler Hero, he that crazy white boy, ain't he? And then I'm scrolling Instagram, and I think it was House of Hoops or somebody put up a video clip of him hitting mitts with boxing gloves. And I was like, oh, no, I'm wrong. He might want to rethink. He might want to control his temper, because not only was there a distinct size advantage between him and Nurk, but yeah, he ain't got no hands. But hey, that Miami Heat culture, I dig it. I'd love to know what triggered him, because I don't think it was the screen. I'm guessing Nurkic had to have mumbled some crazy shit to him, because Hero doesn't strike me as the type of dude that is going to get butt hurt from getting laid out from a screen. I don't know. Maybe it was an accumulation of things throughout the game, but Nurkic, I haven't read. I'm assuming he's getting suspended, because technically he threw a punch. Thankfully, it didn't land, right? But he threw a punch. Let's move on to something more positive. Kyrie Irving making his debut the other night against the Pacers. The eighth grader kind of stole the show, though, right? Lance Stephenson, 20 points in the first quarter. If you give him the green light, that's what he needs. Like, you have to understand, if you're bringing in Lance, you can't say, hey, man, we're running this read and react motion, cut back door, set screens. No, clear out and give him the ball, right? And not every team plays under that philosophy. But with your second unit, why not, right? And so he was cooking, hit a bunch of threes, strumming the guitar. You know, I'm interested to see. Indiana may not keep him around, because I don't know what their agenda is, if they think they're a playoff team or whatnot. But I think someone's going to bring him in for the remainder of the year, right? My money would be on the Lakers. Wasn't he on the Lakers in the bubble, or am I tripping? Was that J.R. Smith? I feel like Lance was on the Lakers. He was. I gotta get it together here, man. But yeah, so Lance with this huge first quarter, Kyrie, after he shook off a little, you know, maybe nerves or cobwebs, he got going. He got going. He was ready to go. And you knew he'd be ready to go because he's a hooper, right? And when you're a hooper with those type of gifts, I'd imagine Kyrie, he has to have the game in his life day to day. It's a part of your daily routine. You need it. You can't leave the game alone. And so, as I expected, he looked like he had been in the gym. He looked very thin out there, but he's so basketball strong, right? He's so basketball strong because of his balance and the angles he attacks with. When you put him in a weight room, he probably couldn't put up 45 plates. Well, that's a stretch, but you know what I'm saying, right? But you put him in the court, I think he's much stronger than he appears, so I don't have a problem with how thin he was. Second half, he got the mid-range going, and he just has this way of making things look so easy. You follow any of these Instagram hoopers, these YouTube hoopers, where they post clips of themselves dropping off and crossing over like legit bums at LA Fitness or out, you know, at parks and shit. And it's like, come on, man. They don't even have hoop shoes on, right? Like, I'm supposed to be impressed with the professor and his moves when he's crossing up a dude in jeans. You know, but back to Kyrie, he almost makes NBA players look like that, right? And you're like, is this real? Is this staged, the way he can play with people? Obviously, he looks fresh and ready to go, and maybe he peaks at the right time, right? Maybe all this could be a blessing in disguise for this Nets team in the sense of, what's the issue with Kyrie Irving? It's always been, well, outside of the off-the-court personality stuff, but his durability. And so now you've basically sliced the season into a third, you know? Perhaps he's peaking at the right time when they need him in April, May, and June. I think the irony of the game, though, was the idea is, okay, they've got to lighten the load for Durant. He's out there 37 points in 41 minutes, and they needed all of them to get past the super depleted Pacers team. Overall, big picture, Kyrie back like he never left, so they got to be excited about that. I want to give my brief thoughts on Dirk. They retired his jersey the other night against the Warriors, and they're actually going to what is the term when you raise a statue? I guess it's raising a statue, right? There's going to be a statue of Dirk with his signature jumper. Did you see there was multiple ball? I don't know about the statue, Mark Cuban. But, you know, Dirk, that one-footed fade, it should be utilized more, right? It's an underutilized shot. And instead of guys like Drummond and Mitchell Robinson and some of these bigs working on three balls all summer, you see that all the time. Every summer, there's a trend of bigs showing guard skills in the summer. I'm handling the ball. I'm hitting threes, right? Nah, man. If you just went and got that Dirk Diggler fade and worked on that all summer, do you know how effective that would be for someone like Andre Drummond, who always has the ball in the paint like that off the glass? Or take a young Marvin Bagley, right? That could be the difference for him as far as, you know, being a bench player and a starter, man. And so, yeah, I'd love to see more players utilize that. I'm not saying it's the easiest shot. I think it's an easier shot for those bigs than learning a three. If you're not a natural shooter, I'll put it to you like that, because there's just there's different ways to shoot it. But the concept of leaning off that one leg. And, yeah, man, just reflecting on Dirk, obviously that touch for a seven-footer, we probably still haven't seen it. You know, it hasn't been matched. You could throw out Towns calling himself the greatest big man shooter of all time. He's not there yet. He hasn't passed Dirk in my eyes. I think the other thing that made Dirk special was he was an insatiable scorer at that size. And that's very rare. A lot of the time, bigs, they're just not insatiable, right? You know, Shaq was, right? And you have the superstars that were, but a lot of the times guys at that size, they kind of have a cap on how much they really want to score, you know? And it goes back to being a giant ass kid, you know? Like if you were 6'4 in sixth grade, you didn't want to stick out like that. You didn't want the ball that much. Like, you know, you didn't want to, like, you're worried about hurting your peers, not dominating them. And so that's was unique about Dirk as well. Moving into that game, I don't care if this sounds like hate. Some of you may say, hey, Alk, you just hate, man. The Mavericks, they beat your squad. The white Zion, Luka, he's just flat out obnoxious, right? He's just obnoxious to watch. Have you noticed there hasn't been a whole lot of like Luka hype this year? I know that he's missed games and stuff, but on social media, hoops of highlights and all this stuff, oh, so-and-so with this, and like and just the media promotion of certain players, there's way more of Ja Morant, right? There's way more of these more exciting players, Anthony Edwards. Luka's just not fun to watch. He's a crybaby. He flops around. He's sloppy. He gets refereed like LeBron, but yet he has none of the accolades. And so it's started to become publicized that he's been out of shape for pretty much his whole career. He came up gimpy on his hammy early in the game. He played through it, and then he ended up rolling the ankle in like the final 90 seconds of the game. And this is what happens when you're not in shape, you know? I don't know who's going to hold him accountable in Dallas, but hopefully it doesn't take a serious injury to scare him straight, right? To get him eating right and taking care of his body. When he was new, it was like, wow, look at this dude. Look at his pace. Look how creative he is with the ball and all this stuff. And now it feels like Luka is, I don't know if he's going to slowly turn heel or not. Shout out my guy Jimmy on Patreon. He made a great point. You know, Bill Simmons, a lot of people reflect on that draft day trade as, I've heard it called by several people, the worst draft day trade of all time. Trae Young for Luka Doncic. If we fast forward 5 seasons from now, Atlanta might win that trade. They might just win that trade, man, because I just don't know how Luka's going to hold up, again, if he's not going to be willing to take care of his body. But anyway, let's get into the game. The Warriors, you saw them really miss Otto Porter and Andre Iguodala for those weak side bailout shots or drives or being able to create something. I have a theory on Andre Iguodala. You know, he's sitting out. He's playing like every other game, right? You've heard Andre kind of, you know, he's a shrewd dude, and he's kind of made remarks of how little he is being paid this season. Like, you know, as a businessman for Andre, it was difficult for him to take the vet min, right? So what if there was kind of an under-the-table agreement where he only had to play half the games? They were like, all right, Andre, we know you don't want to sign for this vet min for $2.6 million, right? If you only play like 40 games, then technically it's really like $5 million, right? Seems like something that Andre would do. I don't know. That just crossed my mind. But yeah, we've missed him in that game. And Otto, specifically Otto, the weak side shooting from that size, you saw the ball. Dallas, I want to credit Dallas's defense. It was impressive. It was. But when the ball would get swung to the weak side, we've grown accustomed to Otto Porter bailing us out with those three balls. And now they were swinging it back around. We saw a couple 24-second shot clock violations. Just an ugly, ugly game. And then again last night, the two worst scoring nights for the Warriors of the season back to back. Steph sits out with the knee contusion. But I'm not really tripping, to be honest with you, right? Like, it's almost the perfect time for a slump. There is such thing as peaking too soon in a season. And let's not lose sight. You get greedy as a fan. You get so accustomed to winning, any L feels like the end of the world when it's just, this isn't the NFL, right? And so you stay in the top three, and more importantly, you stay healthy. Let me ask y'all this, Warrior fans. Last night against the Pelicans, as frustrating as that was, would you rather have the win with Steph dragging his leg around out there and being nervous about his, you know, his rest and conditioning? Everybody wants to see the rookies, and we want to keep the big picture in mind, so you have to deal with shitty nights like we did last night. The Dallas game, maybe even more frustrating, right? But the shooting, I don't know, man. We'll talk about the rookies in the breakdown today. Moody and Kuminga showed well. And then also, we'll look at the tape. Jordan Poole got put in jail by the Pelicans rookie. What's that dude's name? Hubert Davis? Oh, no. Herb Dean? We'll talk about that in the breakdown today. But now, you know, you look, it's probably going to happen the entire season where the Warriors and Suns are going to flip-flop, because now the Suns, the first team to 30 wins on the back of a Chris Paul triple-double last night against the Clippers. Jalen Smith sticks has filled in and proven that maybe he deserves some minutes in the rotation. Then they went out and they signed Bismack Biyombo initially on a 10-day, and now they've signed him for the remainder of the season. I think that's a good ad for the Suns, where obviously he's very limited offensively, but he is a switchable big, right? A pretty good rim protector at this stage in his career still. I think that that's a good move and fit for the Suns, some physicality and some toughness in the front court. It was funny, I read the headline, Kelly Oubre takes over with 8 fourth quarter threes. And I'm like, my God, I got to go back and see what happened. Like, that's nuts, right? And look, man, I'm rooting for Oubre. I've said it several times. Like, I don't really have any ill will towards the one season he had in Golden State. But I go and I look at the fourth quarter of that game. They were up 30 the whole time in Detroit. So, sorry, that don't count. That don't count. Like, that's cool and all, right? But, like, he had 8 threes in a 30-point blowout. So, yeah, man, I'm rooting for Kelly. And he, I think he's found a home there. We've talked about it, how it fits more. He doesn't have to think as much out there. He can just kind of play ball and use his athleticism. But, yeah, the 8 threes is a little misleading because it was like a 40-point game. But shout out to Oubre for shooting that three ball. If he is shooting it well, I mean, that opens up his game. We know that, right? But let's move on to something that happened last night. You know, the old adage goes, a team takes on the personality of its best player. Right? So, are we ready to have the Jason Tatum is soft discussion? Because that's what his coach said after the loss last night, right? Pretty much. I mean, that's what it is. Look, if I'm the Celtics, I might just try to trade Tatum while I can get a king's ransom. I know that every, you know, he's like, well, what could you get for Jaylen Brown? What could you get for Tatum? You saw it, right? They blew a 25-point lead in New York last night. Evan Fournier, career night 40-piece. And then that disgusting game winner from RJ Barrett. That was tough, man. That was tough. And, you know, it's funny because everybody wants a revenge game, right? Whenever a player plays their former team, yeah, you want to do well, right? But doesn't it seem like players have a little something extra for the Celtics? The Celtic revenge games, there's something extra to it, man. So, and then you saw Julius Randle with the thumbs down because the Garden was booing. It's interesting times. It's interesting times with this generation of players. But yeah, the Celtics, just another bad loss, man. And I don't think it's as clear as the fans make it seem that Tatum is the keeper in the one you build around. That's just an outsider looking in. But that's how I see it. You saw the early all-star returns coming in. Andrew Wiggins is fourth in the front court, right? Wiggins is ahead of Draymond. It's funny, you saw the Warriors telecast, they quickly flipped the campaign to Draymond, right? It seems like Wiggs is going to get in, man. I wonder if he's getting a Canada vote. Dub Nation is big, though. Dub Nation is strong. You know, I didn't think about it, and the Warriors have to keep winning because it could be Monty Williams, right? But if the Warriors finish with Kerr as the coach, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't Kerr get to choose? So then we'd get three in? I don't know, man. But yeah, tonight, hopefully everybody's playing Bucks-Nets rematch from that playoff series. And then Sunday, you got Klay's return. I'm going to go ahead and get this new Taco Bell subscription, though. You heard about that? $10 a month for a taco a day? Everybody wants a taco a day. That shit is wild, huh? This is the Hezzy, brought to you by BasketballGods.net. I'm out, y'all.